Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Appreciate being here. Amen. Having the opportunity to be with y'all two services. I believe it's Brother Russell. The first time we deputized, we were in Billings, Montana. And the Lord gave us a good service, and we got a PIM. So it's good to see you in the house of God tonight. Amen. We were in a village doing a Sunday school seminar. It was on the island of Gawa, where they had that active volcano in the middle of a lake. We had brought some of our Sunday school teachers, and we had from the main island or from our church, and some of the youth, and we had puppet shows and did all kinds of children's activities. Also, we were trying to encourage them to have Sunday school, and brought them some Sunday school literature that was donated by the United Pentecostal Church, and we were just excited about being there, having some wonderful services. We also brought a projector, and we showed a Sunday school seminar. We showed the story of Moses, and the children were all excited about it. And the next day, as I was coming to the church, two precious little black girls came to me, big brown eyes, and they were talking with their hands, and they were kind of like sign language. Well, it was sign language. Both the girls were deaf. And they were asking me if I was going to show a video again that night. Both these young ladies, Janet and Susie, are from the same family, and they both were born deaf. They just caught my heart. I was excited. I can't explain, you know, just had compassion on them. So I talked to my wife and said, why don't we have a miracle service and see what God will do? Now, I prayed for a lot of deaf people that are still deaf, but they just touched my heart. I told my wife, if the mother will come, we're going to pray for these little girls. I said, if the mother will come is because the mother hadn't been to any services yet. She was forbidden to come. Her husband would beat her when she'd come to church. She already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't allow her to be baptized in Jesus' name and didn't want her coming to church. That morning, though, the husband was called off in business. He actually owns a few little bungalows. They look just like the houses here, but he rents them out to people that are coming, tourists that are coming to the island to see the volcano. There's actually a little grass runway and a 13-passenger plane that lands, and they have a place to stay, and he has guides that will take them up. It's about an 8-hour walk to get up to the volcano. And so because he has that business, he is the wealthiest man in the island, and he's the only one. They didn't have cell phones. He's the only one that has a telephone. He had a big antenna, and it was a solar-powered telephone that he had. Well, he was called off in business, so we had the service. God began to bless. And that mother was so excited. She was able to come to church, and she wasn't going to be beat because her husband wasn't there. And I mean, she just came and just knelt and wept and cried. And you can just see how thankful she was, and just see the hand of God upon her as she began to worship. We prayed for little Susie and Janet. Nothing happened. But it was just a pleasure to see what this mother was getting from God that night. The next morning, we were packing up to leave, and an auntie came and ran up to us, an auntie of these two little girls, and said, Brother Long, Janet heard the phone ring this morning, and Susie said her first word. I'm kind of like Doubting Thomas. If I was there with the disciples, I'd be touching Jesus too. You know, I want to be in the midst of things. If there's a fire truck around, I'm just the type that likes to be in the middle of everything. I want to see it for myself. So we ran down to the village. It was close to the airport. We were having to leave anyway. And every time the little girl turned her back to me, I would yell out, Janet! And Janet would turn around. After a while, she was holding her. Now, the little girl was just, Susie was just 4 years old. I couldn't tell that she heard, but I could tell that God had healed Janet. Amen. Now, that testimony is not part of my service, not part of my message tonight, but I said it because I believe God wants to do something in this service tonight. And I'm just trying to increase faith, because when we step out in faith, amen, God begins to touch us. I remember when I first got in the church, Before I got in the church, I was had a bad cocaine habit, and so when I came to God, I had some medical problems, and I'd been going to the doctor a lot, and what it was, I found out I had diabetic problems, and they gave me a booklet, and they talked about me taking insulin, and I went to God, and I said, now God, I'm not going to put a needle back in my arm. You delivered me from the cocaine, I'm just not going to stick a needle in my arm no more. Before I got in the church, I used to deal a lot of drugs, and I would buy coke by the pound, and I would cut it, and I'd have enough for myself, and I used to wear a little vial around my neck full of cocaine. I started shooting up on the back of my arm so my bosses wouldn't see track marks in the front of my arm, and God had delivered me from cocaine, so I wasn't going to take those insulin shots. And so I remember talking to God and praying in a service just like this. I felt the warmth hand of God just touch me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I began to tell everybody, God healed me. Amen. I stepped out in faith. God healed me. I felt His touch. Well, the next month I was back in the hospital. And I remember lying in the hospital. I remember talking to God and saying, now God, did I lie to everybody? I was new to this, and I was perplexed, and I didn't understand, and I just remember crying out to God and said, God, I've lied to people, but you know what? I just had my sugar checked the other day. 30 years later, I've never been to the hospital since that last time. I've never had to take insulin, and I have no diabetic problems. Amen. Now, I don't know why God took me that route. Sometimes it's a miracle, sometimes it's healing, but that testimony is just for tonight, for somebody to step out in faith tonight and believe God. At the end of the service, we're going to have a group here praying for the Holy Ghost, and we're going to have those that need healing to come over here, but there's another group that I'd like to see touched tonight. This morning my wife was caught up with a lady. She said she just felt that she had a missionary call. Now, I told you when I first got in the church, they told me I wasn't called to preach, more or less, go on the mission field. Men I won to God preached before I ever preached there. But I had a desire. It wasn't just that. Every missionary service, by the end of the service, I was just about under the pew. I'd slobbered all over myself, wept and cried. And I've seen that there's some people just like that. They feel the touch of God. And it's hard with this big of a crowd and a great ministry, amen, not to follow after God's callings. Amen. And so if you feel that God is touching you, maybe it's not for Africa or for Vanuatu, amen, but if you feel that God has called you out for a ministry, we're going to ask God and we're going to pray for you. Hadn't gotten the message yet. Let me give one more example. There's a little lady that came to our church, Apostolic Tabernacle in Houston, Texas. She was a big gin drinker. Her husband was in jail. She's the one. And now in Houston, if you cross a black lady in Houston, they know how to use the knives. They'll cut you up. And she is known for cutting up several men in her area. It's the truth. My wife is looking at me a little different. Now, when she first got the Holy Ghost, her dress was not holy yet. And so she would shout before the Lord, and all the men had to turn the other direction. You know, it takes time. It took God a long time. You know, I was still a bartender 3 months after I had the Holy Ghost, so you got to give people time. She was scared to testify because Sister Youngblood didn't have any teeth.
And so she was scared to talk and to witness too much because without teeth you can't talk too good.
But Sister Youngblood sat under the ministry and kept getting fed and kept growing till she became one of the biggest witnesses in that church. Everybody in the neighborhood knew about Sister Youngblood. Amen. And her children are living for God, and she's in the house of God. Her husband, I think, is out of jail now. I don't know this time. I hadn't checked. But Sister Youngblood, it's just a wonderful testimony. And she's gotten new teeth. She's got a set of teeth that she can put in. Amen. It doesn't matter our background or where we're from. God can use us. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 3, verse 1, and then I'm going to be going to 1 Kings 19. I'll try not to take too long. I wasn't too long this morning, so. It said, Matthew 3:1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness." And if we'll go on to 1 Kings 19. It says, "And Ahab..." Y'all have it? I can't see that good. Oh, it's still Matthew 3. 1 Kings 19 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not the life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba that belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." And I want to talk a few minutes on a cry in the wilderness. A cry in the wilderness. Or you might call it a bug story. Amen. John the Baptist, he was a little wild. I picture him with his hair sticking out, and the Bible said he wore a camel's hair jacket. Now, my wife and I had the privilege of going to Israel in 1981, and well, it was in Jordan. We rode a camel, and it's not what I would choose as a jacket. It's not like a deer skin or a rabbit skin. It's got these long, bristly hairs. They are real rough, and if you're close to a camel, they smell very bad. But this is what John the Baptist wore. The Bible said he ate locust and wild honey. That's what he liked to eat. He was just a little bit different. We were in Botswana, Africa, and we noticed a lady. She had her baby strapped to her back. She had a stick in her hand, and she was poking in a termite mound. Now, the termites in Africa are not like the ones here. They have these large termite mounds, and the termites look like mealyworms with wings. They're great big old things. And when she found the right one, she took it out, took the wings off, and plopped it into her mouth. Now, the Bible students in Botswana, they would rather simmer them with a little butter in a frying pan. When we were leaving Botswana, Africa, my wife's class that she taught, we taught in a Christian school there, and her class gave us a going away party, and at that party, they gave us a bag full of mapani worms. Now, the children there eat mapani worms like we eat popcorn over here by the bagfuls. Now, mapani worms are great big green caterpillars. In the right season, if you go to a mapani tree and shake it, thousands of these things will fall. They pick them up and they sling the guts out of them, and then they put it on a table to dry out in the sun. And when we get them in that bag, they're green no more, but they're a brown color. They're dried out, and they suck every bit of moisture out of their mouth. My wife and I ate one, and then my daughter tried to eat one. Couldn't keep it down. When we were in Australia, they had a special plate of it had some kangaroo on it and had some different things that was from the country. And one of the things on the plate was a witchetty grub worm. Now, we have, you know, you take an old tree and you break it up and you see those little white grub worms. Well, in Australia, they're witchetty grubs. They're giant ones. I mean, they're bigger than anything in Texas. They just these huge white worms that they had deep fried. When my wife, you know, she didn't, you know, it's the face is right there. You can see, you know, the head and everything. And my wife, the little antennas, and she didn't want to eat hers. But when I was asking for it, because it tasted like sausage, it was really good, she went ahead and tried a little bit. She wouldn't eat the head, but she tried it. Amen. John the Baptist came on the scene different. He was different for a reason. For 400 years, there had not been the voice of a prophet. And now, a man called by God was out there in the wilderness making a scene because God was trying to shake people up that they would hear the true word of God. People have gotten away from the things of God, from the worship of God, from the sacrifices of God. And now, a man came out and he was there to be wild for a reason. He was there to make a cry in the wilderness of his day. Amen. God had to make a cry in the wilderness of my life. Out there, I'd given a little bit of my testimony this morning, but you know, at the age of 14, I didn't even know how to cuss. But by the time I'd been 18, I got arrested on my prom night for possession of marijuana, amphetamines, and barbiturates. I had all kinds of pills because we'd just robbed a drugstore in the Heights area of Houston, Texas, and so I had a little bit of it. I had a smorgasbord in there, and my girlfriend had a bag of marijuana, and also had some quaaludes, and so we just had all kinds of things. You know, when God begins to deal in our lives, when God begins to witness to us, amen, well, it's really not God that witnesses. God's already done everything. It's you and I. God calls people to witness. Now, there's only two ways that God can touch somebody. He can bless them and bless them and bless them that they say, I am so blessed, I need to come to church and thank God. And wouldn't it be nice if all of our members of our family would come to God that way? But if that don't work, then God can take things away. Amen. Now, when I used to deal drugs, I had a brand new car. I had a nice place. I was a bartender. I dealt all kinds of drugs. I made good money. I bought what I wanted to buy. I went where I wanted to go. But before I got in church, there was a chain of events that God allowed to happen in my life to change my direction. What he did is, I was ready to come to an altar and repent of my sins because I was tired of this world. My car got stolen. My new car got stolen. And when I got it back, the transmission was jammed and the police were accusing me of stealing it myself. My girlfriend at that time, her husband was getting out of jail and he was in jail for shooting a man. And she just didn't think I was big enough. She left me for a sheriff. He was 6'7". He already been in jail for shooting a man. And so God was just breaking down my little world. I left Houston for a little while. It was getting hot. I got time tonight. I'll give my testimony. Before I came to a Pentecostal church, see, God was dealing with me. I had no Pentecostal background, but I found out years later that people were praying for me. And so I was going to University of Houston. I was going from one class to another class, and they had a large building. It was an atrium, had a large atrium. It's where the cafeteria and the library was on this side, and they had all the tables out this side, and they had a fountain in the middle of that. And I was walking from one class to another. Back then, I had my long hair, and I used to wear a cowboy hat, and I had this little goatee. My wife said I was scary looking. But when I was going from one class to another, and when I was close to a fountain, God spoke to me in an audible voice. I heard God. He said, if you don't quit dealing the drugs, I'm going to quit dealing with you. It was so emotional. I had 13 dime bags of cocaine in my pocket, and I took it and threw it in that fountain. I was so broken up. I couldn't go to class. I got in my car. On my way home that day, I got blocked in a block from my a short distance from my house by four federal narcotics agents. They were in unmarked cars. I recognized one because he was sitting in a dog catcher's truck in front of my house one day. They had been surveying my house. They thought they had me, but God had already talked to me. They strip searched me out on the street. They said the reason why they stopped me is I matched the description of the Heights rapist. But they weren't looking for that man. They were looking for drugs. And so I remember them taking the panels off my car off, and I've kept drugs in my panels before. They took my car apart. They took my seats out of my car. I mean, in the middle of the street, unmarked cars. But God had already talked to me. You know, if I had a felony conviction, I could have never gone to Vanuatu. I have several felony arrests. One time we paid off the judge. The other time, after a 2-year probation period, they expunged and took it off my record. I still can't buy a handgun, but God has allowed me to go over. He had his hand on me way before, amen, I ever went over there. And so it was getting a little hot in the area, so I decided to leave with some friends. We went to Denver, Colorado for a few weeks, while we were there, my friends decided to go on to Utah. I needed to get back to my bartending job, so I hitchhiked back home. On the way hitchhiking home, I got pulled over by a sheriff late at night. He said that I matched the description of a murderer this time. They picked me up. I guess I was kind of wild looking. I don't know. But they picked me up. They actually pulled my arm out of socket, putting handcuffs on me. And they were taking me back. It was out in the middle of nowhere. It was actually in New Mexico. They were taking me back to the sheriff's office. And on the way to the sheriff's office, I did have some illegal drugs with me. And I did have an illegal knife with me. But on the way to the sheriff's office, they found out that I wasn't the right one. Somebody else was a suspect, so he threw me out of the car. And so I had to go back to Houston hitchhiking with my arm hanging out of socket. So when I came looking for God, I wanted God. I was tired of the mess. I was tired of the world. I came to get something for God. I came to get power over my sins. Amen. In Elijah, the previous chapter, before the chapter I read, 1 Kings 19, Elijah stood up against 80 prophets of Baal. He was the man. He called down his sacrifice. They beat on themselves and they cried out. And if y'all know the story, Elijah prevailed. And if you look, he slew 80 men. But now there's a Jezebel, one woman, and he's running for his life. Now, those of y'all that are married kind of know how he felt. Amen. You come home on a Friday night and you got that fishing trip planned and your wife got a honey-do list and you know who's boss. Amen. Because you don't go fishing. Amen. He was afraid of that one woman. He was so fearful that the Bible said he went off into a wilderness and he sat down under a juniper tree and he wished that he could die. He was suicidal. He's the man of God, the prophet of the hour, and now he's praying, I want to die. Let me tell you something. If you ever been depressed and you ever found yourself in that state, don't say that you're out of the will of God. Everybody goes through depression. Depression is an emotion. We have, my degree's in counseling psychology, we have an extra battery pack, as it were. And if we wear out our main battery, we've got that extra battery. But if we wear out both batteries, our body shuts down. And depression becomes a part of us. And that's where Elijah was. Elijah was so depressed that an angel of the Lord came. I'm still waiting for my angel. He hadn't shown. An angel came to Elijah, said, look to the fire. It had something for him to eat and drink. He was fed and given drink by an angel. But you know what? Elijah was still depressed. Depression's a bad place to be. The Bible said a second time an angel had to come to him. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we come to the house of God and we get a great blessing and we think everything's going to be all right. And the next week everything's right back to the same old, same old. I encourage you, don't wait around for one blessing. You need to come to the house of God every time the doors are open. You need every blessing that's poured out. Amen. This world is a hard world, but we've got a mighty God, and He can give us the strength that we need to overcome. So Elijah in that state, pity me, I'm the only one around. He had to be reminded that there's 70 prophets that God had off in another area. He wasn't the only one. Sometimes we think we're the only one that's gone through this. Oh me, oh my. Why is this happening to me? And so, God's going to give Elijah an object lesson. And if you read the scripture out, He tells the man of God to come to the top of the mount and to watch a valley below him. Amen. If you can put 1 Kings 19 up there. And while he's watching the valley, It says, verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither to a cave and lodged there. And did I go too far? He lay asleep under a juniper tree, and an angel of the Lord touched him, and he baked the coals. And the angel of the Lord came about a second time and touched him, and he arose and did eat and drink with that strength for 40 days. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break the rocks into pieces. So Elijah's getting an object lesson. He's standing before the mount, and a great mighty wind falls before him, and he watches it break everything into pieces. I remember we were having a revival at Irvington Pentecostal Church. There was a man of God that had come, Brother J.J. Bourne, and he's the one that, he's the one that was preaching. In this revival, God was really moving. People were being touched. But there was an old man that would make his way to the altar in the first night of service. God was moving. People are getting the Holy Ghost. But this old man, he came and he made his way to the altar and he knelt at the altar. He wept. He cried. He prayed. But when the service was over, he left downcast, not receiving anything. The second night of the revival, the evangelist, Brother Bourne, was preaching his heart out. The church had been praying like this church. It was a big church, and God was moving. And Brother Bourne watched as his old man got out of his seat and came to the same place and knelt down before God and wept and cried and prayed and sought after God. You could see the hunger in the older man, but nothing happened. The man left again, not receiving anything. And so, the next night of revival, Brother Bourne had talked to the pastor about this elderly man, and the pastor told him that this old man was a chronic seeker. He'd been coming up to the altar for years, but has never received the Holy Ghost. He thinks he'd get the Holy Ghost just like the book of Acts, that a great mighty wind would fill the house, and tongues of fire would set upon him. And so Brother Bourne prayed, and he came up with this idea. He got one of those big warehouse fans. Y'all know what I'm talking about, those great big square fans? And he put it on the platform. The power of God was moving the next night. The Holy Ghost was touching people's lives. And here comes that little old man, and he kneels down and prays. And while he's praying, Brother Bourne turned that fan on. He put it on high. The wind began to blow. The little hairs on that man, I shaved mine off, so the little hairs on his head began to blow in that wind, and that man began to tremble, and that man began to shake. And for the very first time in his life, he began to speak in another tongue, as only the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. But God was not in the wind. That's what the scripture said. Elijah, God was not in the wind. Elijah's staying, he's watching all this, and he sees the wind, and God's not in the wind. And after the wind, there's a great mighty earthquake, and it breaks the rocks in pieces. And the same thing, it says, but God was not in the earthquake. We were in Vanuatu the first time we came. We were in the capital city, and they had an earthquake 7.2 on the Richter scale. It was so strong, it actually shook us out of our bed. There was a great big crack in our bedroom wall. We were all excited. They had some aftershocks. It was kind of like a Six Flags ride for us. We'd never seen, we were just talking and had a, it was a long time before we went back to sleep. The next morning when we got up, all of our neighbors were still outside. There were bridges out and buildings destroyed, and everybody was scared. We didn't know we were supposed to be scared. My son received the Holy Ghost when he was 7 years old. There was an evangelist come to the church. 88 people received the Holy Ghost in 3 weeks' time with this evangelist. His name was Brother Bernardini. Brother Bernardini was a big man. Where's that one pastor you have? Brother Bernardini's about your size. He's got this great big hands, and he's got a special anointing. When he prays for, I've seen my son receive the Holy Ghost under his ministry. I saw an 80-year-old woman receive the Holy Ghost. He would take and he would shake them, and he would shake them with those great big hands of his. And every time it seemed like God would just move in a mighty way. And so I was a young man. The Lord hadn't preached out much. I saw what Brother Bernardini did, and so I was going to see results. Amen. I need a where's a young man? I need a young man to help me out here. There was a young man that needed the Holy Ghost. Come up. You raised your hand back here. He doesn't see me. Come on up. I don't know his name. Right here in the blue shirt. Come up here for a second. Sorry if I use you as an example. Well, we got another man coming. That's fine. He's too tall. I'm going to have to stand up here. You're going to have to stand down there. He was a young man, and he wanted the Holy Ghost. And I saw Brother Bernardini, how he prayed, and God moved. And so I took, and I had these little bitty hands, but still, I saw how God did it, and I was going to see it. And so this face toward me, you're thinking, you're wanting to receive the Holy Ghost. So I took him, and I shook him. Help me out now. And I shook him, and I shook him, and I shook him, and nothing happened. That was Brother Bernard. Thank you very much. That was Brother Bernardini's anointing. Amen. I had to find my own anointing. God was not in the earthquake. Everything that Elijah saw that day is because God wanted him to understand about a still, small voice. You that are here today that don't understand Pentecost, everything we have, God has given us to shake your world. Amen. We shout, we dance, we are different, we don't look the same, we're not the same as a church down the street. Amen. God has put an anointing on us. Amen. The Bible says that when you receive the Holy Ghost in Acts 1 and 8, you receive power, dunamis power, earthquake power. Amen. The winds of Pentecost have blown across us, and everything that God has allowed this church to do in its worship and its exhilaration toward God is a sign, amen, to shake your world so that you can hear a still, small voice. I didn't care what was preached today. I came to church. I came to get something from God. Amen. The people, they were wild and they were woolly. But God allowed me to hear that voice. Amen. Elijah saw an object, listen. God stood him before a mount. There's a great mighty wind and a great earthquake and a great fire. And God said, I ain't in all that. But then he heard the still small voice. If you're here today to receive the Holy Ghost, amen. All the shouting and everything that God has allowed to happen in this service is for you to get your mind off the world. Amen. And put your mind on Jesus Christ. But if you'll come up here, and if you'll trust and believe God, and if you'll lift up your hand, there'll be a small voice that'll talk to you. Amen. And if you'll open up your heart and give your sins to God, God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. We had a young man come to our Bible school. He came to learn how to read a little bit better. Heard about our school. We have a literacy school. But when he came to pray, he prayed like this. That's the way he was taught. He was taught to have reverence in the house of God. He was taught to be quiet in the house of God. He was taught that way. I was taught that way. I never heard or saw an altar call in the church that I went to. I never saw anybody lift up their hands and say, praise the Lord. I didn't see all that. See, the devil knew what he had to do to stop the Spirit of God from moving. He got the people so reverent that God got bored with the service and left. This is a Pentecostal church. We're different for a reason. God has called us out. Amen. And we shout and we sing because we know what the world was. And we're so thankful that God has taken us out of it. We know what misery is. We know what pain is. We know what suffering is. We know what fear is. And God has taken us out. God brought us to an altar just like God's going to do with you. And he allowed all this to happen just so that you can hear his voice. Does anybody want to hear his voice today? Amen. If you'll come up to the center right here. Amen. There's men and women here that have prayed for this service. 100 people came on Friday night praying that God would move upon this service. Amen. And now it's your day. It's your time. It's your hour. If you need a touch of God, if you need the Holy Ghost, we're asking that you would come up here. If you need healing for your body, amen. There's men of God and women of God that have faith that God's going to step out. I prayed for a lot of deaf people. In Houston, Texas, I saw a 12-year-old boy receive his hearing. And now in Vanuatu, I see a little girl receive their hearing. It was nothing that I had. Amen. But I found a mighty God. And I have faith that he can touch your body. Amen. Because he delivered me from diabetes. He's delivered me from the things of this world. If you feel a tug of your heart and you're asking God to show you your ministry, I'm asking that you'll come on this side and have the men of God come and pray for you. Amen. We need to trust God. We need to believe God. Amen.